If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Teacher Quit Talk,
where we're talking mainly. No quitting today. Today, I actually had multiple teachers. They were like, "You're still here. Nice."
No, my friend, one of my besties, started year 10 this year, and I was like, oh my god, you beat the freaking statistics.
Okay, I need your opinion about the statistic, because, okay, so one statistic is like, isn't it 50% leave within 5 years?
Yeah.
So I was debating this with someone, because they were telling me, because this is my 5th year, and my friend was like, oh, you beat the statistic, and I don't think I did, because I did leave. Like, I think my 5-year timer started over, because I've yet to prove I can do 5 consecutive years.
Well, that's why we always say that people need to take a break. We're like, don't be ashamed of taking a sabbatical. Don't worry about it if you have to step away and do something else.
I think like a 3-1 ratio is going to be perfect for me. 3 years in, 1 year out. 3 years in, 1 year out.
Yeah. We were talking about what we should talk about today, and we thought, you know what? The news is kind of pissing us off, so why not just look
at
the headlines?
We're now newscasters, except unlike how many newscasters have a strong commitment to just the facts and not being biased, we're only going to read stuff that we don't like, and we're going to talk negatively about it. And any evidence against what we're saying, we're going to omit.
Absolutely. So,
this is the thing I hate the most about education news, is they're never talking about what needs to be talked about, but somehow they're still pissing me off with what they're talking about.
Do you want to start with the first one that pissed me off?
I was literally the one that where you said this headline pissed me off, and then it's Fox Business, that one?
Yeah.
Teachers are still quitting at a concerning rate, hindering students' education.
First of all.
Oh, so I'm the fucking villain? Okay.
The phrasing of that is crazy. I can't stand this shit. So it says, teachers of tomorrow reported that there were 55,000 vacant positions and an additional 270,000 teaching posts currently filled by underqualified teachers earlier this year. May I remind you,
I'm the underqualified teacher.
May I remind you that the Republicans just cut enough Title I funding to cut 72,000 teaching positions at underfunded schools. So what are you doing to fix it?
I like how, and now it says there's 55,000 vacant positions. Like, what did you think was going to happen?
It's almost like you guys are making teaching an uninhabitable space. I can't say that word, but you knew what I meant.
I regularly say at work that I feel as though I'm in some kind of psychological experiment.
Yeah, well, you are.
And I didn't consent. I did not give in for... Actually, I did. I signed. I re-signed. So I guess I did. It was literally a page and a half. And it's like, if you get arrested, call us. This is how much the pay is. This is the calendar. You in or you out? So what else has Fox said about us?
They say, With mounting responsibilities and stagnant pay, teachers are continuing to feel burnt out and leaving the industry at a concerning rate. It's an ongoing trend impacting students' education. So Evan Stone, who co-founded Educators for Excellence, who I haven't Googled that, but I'm afraid to. I hope they're nice. Says he's tracked teachers leaving the workforce over the past 7 years due to the creation of, quote, an unsustainable set of conditions for them in the classroom. It is hilarious to me that anybody affiliated with Fox anything is saying this shit on the internet. Whose fault is that?
You know that meme where it's like, we're all looking for the guy who did this?
Yes. Yes. It's so frustrating to me because, like, I will never get over the shit that... Yes, baby. I will never get over the shit that Fox News has done to teachers over and over and over again. And then they're like, first of all, they're saying education is the backbone of our nation, yet we are systematically failing our educators by sending them into classrooms underprepared for the complexities of teaching. So what they have done for this article is they have gotten a ton of like buzzy quotes and just are listing them. They're not saying anything.
So I have some news about Evan
Stone.
Tell
me.
It is quite literally the most perfect news I could possibly announce.
Oh my God.
He founded this organization, Educators for Excellence, 14 years ago. What was he doing before this? Teach for America.
No,
and then started the organization. That's his only teaching experience.
I'm so sick of the... no offense to any Teach for America teachers in the audience. I am so sick of Teach for fucking America.
Teach for America will literally take very well-intended 22-year-olds and brainwash them into believing that doing 2 years of experience in a job qualifies them to be making national laws on that job. And not only does it qualify you, it makes you the best possible person to do it. Yeah. The way that Teach for America is literally such a mind fuck.
Mm-hmm. It's a freaking cult.
Crazy. But yeah, that's so fucking perfect that the Fox Business expert on education has 2.5 years of teaching experience.
Like, what are you doing?
15 years ago.
Pre-COVID. Pre a lot of things.
Yeah. He taught sixth grade, which is fine.
Goodness.
But I don't think you would know about all grade level, things. And then his only experience before that was intern at New York City Council.
I'm sick of it. Okay. My God. They're just listing facts, but not saying anything. So to me, like, what I see when I see this article is they're just using SEO to, like, load every single, like, teacher shortage buzzword they can into this article and then offering no solutions. Granted, we do that on our episodes sometimes. Not in the SEO way, but we just bitch and moan and don't offer any solutions. But that's different because it's us. They're not allowed to do that.
When we do it, it is furthering the national conversation.
Hello?
When they do it, it is stupid.
This is very ironic, given what you just said to me. This says, leadership in education, which can influence student achievement by as much as 25%, is also steeped in theory rather than practice. So, like, okay. Evan... Who had no experience virtually? Okay, perfect.
Maybe Evan should practice. And I think anyone... All right, this is the new strategy. If you want to make laws about K-12 education, if you want any input about any of that, we're going to make you sub a kindergarten class on the third day of school. When they're not excited and they're just scared now.
Yeah. The issue with Fox News for me is that they just... are very inflammatory. They add to the rhetoric and the manufactured hysteria that's around the public education system right now. And it serves their own investors' means because school choice, quote unquote, is just dismantling public education. And then it's like this vicious cycle. And there's people that just repeat anything they hear on it. And it's so dangerous.
They really just be saying anything on there.
That was that article. That's all I have to say about it. Do you have any favorite parts?
I hated the whole thing, But I love it because he did Teach for America. Like, I couldn't write it. It's too perfect. It's so too perfect.
I know. I'm glad you Googled that. You want to do the next one?
Yeah. You ready? Here, let me pull it up. Okay, so this is an article from The Hill. It says, views of K-12 education improving from record low. This is from Gallup. If you are listening and you don't know what Gallup is, let me Google it because I think I know, but I don't want to be wrong. So Gallup is a multinational analytics group, and they do public polls worldwide. They don't get paid to do the polls, but companies will buy the information. So Gallup is like one of the most reliable poll people, apparently. This is Gallup. They say Americans' view of the K-12 education system improved from last year's record low opinion of the institution. That's hilarious. And this was written that like literally published today. So I guess last year was the record low. I felt like I had a good year last year.
Yeah, you really did. I mean, it says that satisfaction with K-12 is up 7 percentage points, increasing from 36% in 2023 to 43% in 2024. But I just, again, it goes back to like the fact, yeah, the fact that the media is the ones saying this. And I feel like the media is the ones shaping and manufacturing this negative perception in a lot of ways, because people on the internet will be like, oh, it's teachers on social media talking about all their problems. And it's like, I don't think that's big enough. I think we need to look at like politicians in the media on a broader scale, and then for them to be like, oh, things are getting better. It's like,
and it's also like we always have the bias of like usually good things don't get reported on. So the times you see a teacher in the news, it's because they like usually did something bad. Like no one comes in and fucking films a segment when my kids did really good on their essay. So this is probably great for the future. Still, 55% said they are completely or somewhat dissatisfied with K-12 education. Only 9% said they were completely satisfied. For Republicans, satisfaction is up 8 percentage points, which is interesting, and Democrats are up 9 percentage points. Republicans last year were at 33% satisfaction. Democrats are at 53% satisfaction, and this is the largest gap between the political parties that they have ever seen.
Very indicative of the world we're in right now.
Mm-hmm. And it says, as has consistently been the case for over 25 years, parents of school-aged children are much more likely to express satisfaction with the quality of their own child's education rather than the education system overall. I can see
so
that
interesting.
Because like a lot of people chose their kids' school for a reason, because even if you go public, sometimes you still have choices. Sometimes there's like charters public or magnet or things like that. Every place is different. So sometimes you have choice with public. What I didn't know is a lot of places are not strict about your address. Like where I live now, they're very strict. But in some places where they can serve, like they don't care about where you live as long as you have transportation. So what I feel like is going on there is a lot of parents that chose probably did a lot more research. So they saw a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And also like I think I would be really interested in like the questions that they use to shape this study. I think there's some like a boogeyman thing that happens where people are so freaked out by the overall state of the United States public school system, but what they experience in their own child's school is pretty good, but they might think like, oh man, I have it so good. Like, look at, like you said, like they've done a lot of research and seen a lot of bad stuff. So I don't know. I wonder how they shaped that.
And like you said, I'd be curious to see how they phrased it, because like you could phrase that a lot of different ways that would really change what people thought you were asking. Because what if they phrased it like, are you overall satisfied with the U.S. education system? They could be saying no because they're dissatisfied with policy, but they are satisfied with schools. You know what I mean? So, I think they should have been a little more explanatory about what they were asking. Because it could be like, let's use Florida as an example. There could be a parent that really dislikes the book banning and the, like, anti-everything policies in Florida, so they're dissatisfied with the Florida education system, but they could think that the individual schools are doing an amazing job of handling this and they are satisfied with the schools handling of these problems, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And Anna in the chat said, you can usually find the poll questions directly from Gallup, which I was actually surprised that this article did not directly link. You know how sometimes it'll say like the mm-hmm. poll and they'll like link it so you can click and see more. They don't have that.
I just found it on Gallup's. Yes, Anna.
Overall, how satisfied are you with the quality of education students receive in kindergarten through grade 12 in the U.S. today? That's an interesting question to ask parents, in my opinion. I wonder if they asked it several different ways, because I feel like the average person might not have a really comprehensive picture of what school looks like. I mean, you and I have said on this podcast many times that, like, we don't really understand even how teaching works or school works in other parts of our state because it varies so widely, you know?
I also think parents have completely different levels of knowledge and involvement depending on their child. Like, I remember one time when I was in high school, my mom went out with her friends and she came back and she was like telling me how her friend was like, oh, my daughter's having a really hard time in geometry. She has all these problems in geometry, and like kept talking about geometry. And my mom literally, she was like, and I realized, I don't even know what math you're taking. She was like, I assume I would know if there was like a problem, but she was like, I don't know any of that. And she was like, thanks for having it together so I don't have to get involved in the nitty gritty on that. Because like, my parents were very involved in my education from like a planning perspective. Like, what kind of colleges do you want to apply to? What do you need to do to achieve that? But like, they were not involved on like a day-to-day what I'm actually learning. Because especially with older kids, like, most parents don't know pre-calculus, and that's fine. So I wouldn't expect them to be like, I am satisfied with the level of pre-calculus you guys are learning. Like, they might just not know.
Right. And I think parents also don't understand what's going on in elementary schools today because we didn't experience it the same way that kids are nowadays. There's things that are different, and I've only been out of the classroom for a couple of years, and there's already things that are different. All right, last one.
Okay, so the education debates you'll likely hear about in the election explained. Good, because I don't know what's going on. I always see people holding signs, and they seem real passionate about a lot.
You know what's going on, Redacted. Don't say that. You know.
I kind of do, but like some of the things where they are talking about like tax credit scholarships, I'm like, I don't know shit about that. So
I understand. Put that back. There's so many things that like I wanted to do a video on education on the ballot and like what's coming up, and I just realized I don't know as much as I thought I knew because of the like very complicated like bills that are on the floor. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck they're
and
voting on right
I've kind of come to the conclusion that like 85% of the time, if a congressperson or someone in the federal government is talking about education, they're actually just talking out their ass because they actually don't have the right to institute 90% of the policies they're talking about. What the federal government can do is make federal guidelines, but that's just a guideline. States do not have to follow it.
Yeah, it's very discouraging to try to follow education and politics for me because I feel like educators and parents of kids who are in school are used as like a, it's like education is dangled as a carrot. It's like, yeah, oh, we're gonna do this and that for the school system and your kids and your workplace and like all this stuff, we're gonna make it great, and then they never do. So it's left me feeling like jaded in a lot of ways. I won't even like look it up because I'm like, are you actually going to do anything? Are these committees that you're forming actual helping committees, or are they just something to say like, look, we're doing something? Because that's how I feel about a lot of the committees at the White House, and it's just
It's just like oh yeah, we have a committee so that they can act like they're doing something. And the thing that gets me is when like a congressperson will go up there and be like, smaller class sizes, and I'm like, okay, it's either one of two things. Either you know you can't do that and you're just bullshitting me to get me to believe you, or two, you think you can do that, which is more concerning to me because why do you not know how that works when you work there?
I know. I know. And our current education director, what the hell is that office called? The
Department of Education? Yeah,
the head of the Department of Education. I like him. I think he's with it. His wife's a teacher. But then at the same time, I'm like, he doesn't have a lot of power. I can like you as much as whatever, but like, it's the states and the districts and the school boards. Like, so we really have to focus on that more than you, you know?
My school's custodian has a far greater impact on my life than that man does. Okay.
Anyways.
So let's look at the debates that we're having, what they're on. School choice. This is a catch-all term for the various types of public and private school choice programs, which have rapidly expanded. They can include charter schools, which are public schools that are privately managed by nonprofits, for-profit organizations, districts, or universities. So that's one thing we were talking about with charter schools. Charter is a very open term that can be literally anybody.
It can be literally in districts. That's the thing that, like, it's like you can't talk about it universally because people try to talk about charter schools universally and it's so different. LAUSD, like, has freaking charter schools.
There's a couple charter schools in my area that I absolutely think should exist. Like, there's one that kids have to get into that's one of the most competitive schools in the nation for, like, science, math, engineering, and technology. And I'm like, hell yeah. Like, if a high schooler has crazy potential in that area, they should get all these resources because it doesn't make sense to have millions of dollars of engineering resources at every school.
One of the things that I think it's a really nuanced conversation and it gets people really heated, but something I noticed was that when I worked at a charter school, the charter school was brought into the community because the community literally asked for it. We were in the local park.
As parents and teachers, we all want to set our children up for success. Maybe your child is struggling with a specific subject, or your students needed a little extra help with homework, or maybe they're asking questions that you're just not sure how to answer. And, you know, if your child is ahead and not getting challenged enough in class, IXL can be the perfect tool for them too. Yes, IXL, you know her, you love her. IXL is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language, arts, science, and social studies, and it's designed to help students understand and master topics in a fun, engaging way, and it offers positive feedback along the way. As a teacher, I saw firsthand how IXL can make a difference. Whether a student is struggling with a specific topic or trying to keep up with their class or even aiming to get ahead. And for a lot of parents, one of the most helpful features is the tailored approach IXL takes with every single child. IXL is powered by advanced algorithms that give the right kind of help no matter the student's age or personality. And with just one subscription, you get access to everything. So it's perfect for a household with kids from pre-K to 12th grade. It saves time and money, and a single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL, so it's always worth a shot. Studies have shown that kids who use IXL consistently score higher on tests, and IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the United States, so 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are already learning with IXL. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Teacher Quit Talk listeners can get an exclusive 20% off of IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
To ask parents what they wanted. And they wanted a high quality school with resources and technology for their kids that could help them while they were, that was long enough to fill the workday and the commute time. Because when you're talking about Los Angeles, you're talking about, I mean, when
super
I
commuters.
Worked,
like,
yeah, super.
Pretty much everyone is over an hour a day minimum.
Yeah. So, like, we were there because the community wanted something because the LAUSD school in that neighborhood was not cutting it. And schools are funded by property tax, right? You can bring a charter school into the neighborhood that is going to potentially attract people to buy a home in that area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, it's a whole conversation about gentrification that can happen. It's like a whole thing. And we were having those conversations. But I don't always think that parents should have to be the sacrificial lamb, because my issue with LAUSD is that it's huge and they're sitting on literally trillions of dollars and they're not allocating their funds equitably. So what happens is schools in neighborhoods like mine pop up and people are like, "Ooh, boo, charter schools." And I'm like, what's the alternative? The families that have lived here for generations send their kid to a shitty school because they don't have transportation.
It's kind of giving me the same vibe as Title I. Like, it's a band-aid and it's really gotten out of hand when we just needed to fix the problem in general. Like, if schools had adequate funding, we wouldn't need Title I. If public schools were serving the mission that they are supposed to serve, we wouldn't need charter schools, you know?
Yeah, but the public school system, like we said, is like in a lot of ways this like political pawn. It's a microcosm of greater issues always. Like every issue in society hits schools. I don't know. I just went on a really long tangent, but...
Okay, so back to Education Week. They're talking about, so charter schools, like we said, can be run by a gazillion different types of organizations. They use, most of them use voucher. So that's one is charter schools. Another version of school choice is vouchers. This allows families to use public dollars to attend private schools. So basically, the government is paying for you to get a private school education. The cases where I have seen this and it makes sense is if a student has a disability that they cannot be served effectively at their home school, sometimes it makes more sense to voucher for them to go to a facility that has the means, whatever they may need to do that.
And that's another shitty thing because they shouldn't need a voucher. Like the system itself is broken because they're supposed to be in their least restrictive environment and schools don't always have that. Or they don't have that near the kids' home. And it's like, what the frick do you mean you don't have an option for them where they live? Hello?
So like it's, I kind of feel the same way. Like I see a situation where a voucher makes sense, but what I read somewhere else is that when you look at the statistics, the vast majority of people using vouchers used to just pay for that private school. Like it's not like they took them out of public and then into private. It's people that were already going private and then realized they could get the government and our tax dollars to foot their bill. So that's one thing I have a lot of feelings about. The other way that we have choice is tax credit scholarships, in which a nonprofit doles out funding from businesses or individuals who receive tax credits for their donations.
Is it like a super PAC for a school? Like what?
Yeah, that's what I guess. Somewhere there's nonprofits that pay for kids to go to private schools. I'm sure that's true. But the way they explain that made it sound a lot more complicated than it is.
I feel like all of this is more complicated than we even know.
This I've never heard of. An education savings account in which families receive public per pupil funding from a state-managed bodies. State-managed body. So it's like the fucking, like the health savings shit, but for school and it's the taxpayer money? Why would anyone get that? Who are we paying? I have so many questions.
We need to do like a deep dive on just this point. Like school choice. We need to get somebody that knows things to come and have our research queued up because I truly don't fully understand. And I can admit that, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think they make it confusing on purpose.
Oh, yes.
Like... they make it confusing so that we don't understand and so parents don't understand. They don't want anyone to understand.
Nope, which is the same thing I've been screaming about special education for so long that I just feel like I'm blue in the face. They don't want us to get it because then you could access it. Anyways, here we go. The next one says the Every Student Succeeds Act, which I think we just talked about on the Title I episode, but I don't know if that came out
yet. We did. We did vaguely speak about that, but I don't think it's come out yet.
So it says, oh, Education Secretary. That's what his title is. Okay. There it is.
There he is.
Miguel Cardona. Okay. So anyways, the Every Student Succeeds Act is the main federal K-12 education law. And surprisingly, a lot of people do not know about this. They still call it No Child Left Behind, which it is not. It replaced No Child Left Behind, or ended before, I don't know, whatever the language is around that. It replaced it. So, but it didn't get the same kind of, like, attention. I think, personally, because George Bush did No Child Left Behind, that was, like, his thing, and Obama was the ESSA, the Every Student Succeeds Act. So, I don't know, but...
everybody's got to have a thing. That's one
thing
I've learned.
Everybody
has their own thing. Everyone's thing is super special.
But right now, so Betsy DeVos and Miguel Cardona did not make rewriting it or enforcing it a priority whatsoever. So the law now needs to be rewritten. And it is a huge thing right now where people are like going to be talking about what needs to go in it, what needs to be updated, what's the vibe, should we keep it, should we replace it. So that's something that maybe we'll see getting more attention. I don't know.
Probably not. They're probably just going to keep talking about nothing rather than talk about one of the very few things within their control.
Yeah. People focus more on Obamacare/Medicare for sure. Yeah. They were like, education? Who is she? I don't know.
They're
her.
Like, yeah, those kids are learning, man. Last time I looked in that school, there were books. So I think we're good on that.
Do you have anything you want to say about ESSA before we move on?
Not really. I feel like it's all just different branding. And like someone in the chat said, they both include unnecessary amounts of standardized testing. I'm just deeply, deeply unimpressed. There's just every time I see federal people talking about education, I'm just deeply unimpressed every single time. And it somehow gets more disappointing every time. Also, before we get to the titles and the Roman numerals, we were learning the Constitution this week. So we were reading the Constitution, and one of the some of the questions on the worksheet that I bought from Teachers Pay Teachers was like, which article is this? Which article is that? And it was in Roman numerals. And a kid was like 5. And I was like, is that right? And they were like, do you not know? And I felt so much of the respect they had for me just fly out the window when they realized I don't know the Roman numerals. Like, and when they saw me counting on my fingers, I was like, I've lost something I can't get back. Back to Title IX.
Title IX. A law that prevents sex-based discrimination in schools. Oh, God. Largely centering on how it relates to transgender students. They love.
No, it's not.
Well, that's how the Republicans have been leaning upon it. That's why I groaned like that. Because I'm like.
Because it was literally, I think, like the reason they wrote it was because of girls' sports.
It's basically one child that wanted to be in girls' sports. And they're like, let's make a war against this just one child.
We hate this kid. This one right here, officer. Crazy Title IX lore. I just Googled this to confirm I was right and I wasn't misremembering. My mom always talks about how she remembers when it passed because my mom was like into sports as a kid and it passed when she was in high school, I think, based on the year, roughly. And she says she literally remembers like the day they started getting like better practice times and new mats and stuff, because when she first started gymnastics, their practice was after wrestling. So they'd have to sit there the whole wrestling practice after school, watch them. And then once the wrestlers were done and went home, then they got to practice gymnastics on the sweaty wrestling mats. So that's why we have Title IX. While you corral your offspring, I'm going to read what's going on with Title IX. So in contrast to the Every Student Succeed Act, Title IX is a law that prevents sex discrimination in schools. Again, they're saying it's largely centered on transgender students. I do not feel that way. The most recent concern, regulations from the Biden administration that explicitly prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity in schools. Federal courts have blocked these rules in 26 states and some individual schools in other states. The Biden administration rewrite replaced a revision by the Trump administration, and both came on top of controversial guidance issued during the final years of the Obama administration. What was the controversial guidance? Title IX processes for handling sexual harassment in school, particularly in higher education settings, also changed over these administrations. And higher education is college.
Yes. And this is one of those things. It's like something that they want to repeal because of just being transphobic, that they're not thinking about all the other things.
And like, you know? This is one of my, like, I don't want to say favorite because it's bad, but this is one of the things I've noticed about like the transgender sports issues, which is literally probably 20 people in America, but somehow has turned into a massive thing.
Literally.
Whenever it comes up of transgender people being in sports, the argument we hear again and again and again is like, protect women athletes, protect women's sports. But y'all are going to strip Title IX, which is one of the only protections female athletes have, to go after this very small group of people that you hate to allegedly defend women, But when you strip Title IX, now all those things I mentioned, like that my mom went through, are just going to come back. So if you actually cared about women athletes, you wouldn't go this route. Like, even if I'm trying to put myself in their headspace of like wanting to be terrible towards trans people, this still doesn't make sense. And then the other part that gets me a ton, I actually really like, one time at a party, I ate someone like bad with this when I said this to them. I fucking love arguing with people. So they were talking about how like they have a daughter who's really into sports, and they were talking about how they don't want her competing against, they were like, I don't want her competing against someone that was a boy 20 minutes before the meet, blah, 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 blah. And I said, the chances of your daughter competing with a transgender athlete are very low. The chances of her being sexually assaulted by a coach or a teacher or a sponsor are very high. So you would like to give that person the authority to do genital checks, because the chances of them finding a transgender person, really low. The chances of them using gender checks to sexually assault girls in sports, very high.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think you're worried about the wrong thing. Even if I agreed that that's a thing you should be worried about, which I don't. You shouldn't be. May the best athlete win. I don't care. I don't do sports, so I literally don't have a horse in the race. But, like, it's wild that people will, like, get into this silo view and discount every piece of logic.
It literally makes me sick, to be honest with you. And this one makes me sick, too. The last one in this article is critical race theory, which they don't even know what the fuck that means. And this article on Adweek even specifically notes that it has died down. Like, people aren't talking about CRT as much as they were, but now they're just, yeah, they pivoted to diversity, equity, and inclusion. So they're just racist. Like, at the literally end of the day, it was affirmative action, then it was critical race theory, and now it's diversity, equity, and inclusion. And when I say first and then and now, I mean all together. It's like snowballed, right? So it started with affirmative action, and then they just kept being more and more racist, and they're emboldened to be racist because the policies that are being put in place are so blatantly racist. Donald Trump is so outwardly racist. Makes me boil.
And I feel like they're just seeing what they can get away with. Like, they take it a little further every time. Like someone mentioned in the chat, they attack a smaller group, trans students, to see how it will go over when they want to attack a larger group, LGBTQIA+ overall. And I think that that's true on, like, the what you were just saying, like them going after all of these, like, terminology, and, like, honestly, a lot of it is DEI as what it means is important. DEI, the way that corporate America has latched onto it, is marketing.
Yes, it drives me nuts.
So, like, we've lost the plot so bad, and now people are, like, coming after it when I'm like, it's not even what you think it is, because we lost the plot. Like, what you're afraid of would be great for me, but that's unfortunately not what's happening.
I'm getting really upset, but it's fine. I just get frustrated with these people. They're crazy. So, and they're so powerful and crazy. You know what I mean? It's like even if their laws don't pass, the rhetoric that they spread is like a plague upon our country, and it just snowballs, and it makes people so deeply hateful. And because it's visible, they feel justified to be hateful.
Yeah, because they can, like, find their little example. They're like, aha, you see, mm-hmm. I was right all along.
So, yeah, the last two things on here are religion in schools, which we've done a whole episode on, and teacher pay, which we've also done a whole episode on. But I mean, I don't have anything to add.
Not really. Oh my God. I've been fighting for my life with religion in schools recently because it's in my content before anyone, like, reports me to the military or something. We're, like, learning about, like, religion in the colonies and, like, the enlightenments and, like, the preachers and stuff. And so, like, I wasn't raised very religious, but a lot of my students were. So I'm like, you know, how in the church, some people were mad and then they started their own church, but it was still the Christian church, but then they were different, and that's Protestantism. And they were just staring at me and they were like, no.
Oh my
and I was
gosh.
Like, you know how, when you're driving and you see a church, and one might be Baptist and one might be Methodist, and they are similar but different, and all the kids are just looking at me, and I was like, So I went to Unitarian church when I was a kid, so I'm not really well versed in any of this.
And they continued to stare at you like...
And I was like, so anyway, Jonathan Edwards was talking about hell, and it made people scared, so they started showing up. And then I was talking to them about how, like, I was like, you know how at church some people get excited and they'll be like, I feel the Lord in me. I was like, that's fervor. And some of the British people don't like that because British people are very calm.
I love the explanation. I want you to do a stream teaching me in a very PC way about all these religions.
Because I'm like, A, I don't know what I'm talking about. And B, we're not really supposed to be talking about religion in schools, but it's relevant to like the history of that we are supposed to be talking about. The kids are like, obviously the church has always been the same. And then one kid was like, church is boring. And I was like, if you notice from that painting, people are falling on the ground. Doesn't seem boring to me.
It's like how Congress used to be very exciting. People would beat each other with canes.
That was great. I bring that back. This has been Teacher Quit Talk, the live edition. If you want to come and watch us live and chat with us, you got to come to the Patreon. We go live like once a month-ish.
Yeah, it is quite ish.
I love you.
Just as a disclaimer, because I am someone who is actively teaching, everything on this podcast is my personal opinion and does not reflect my district, my state, my employer, my students, or my admin. Everything on this podcast was recorded on personal time, on personal equipment, and is a completely separate endeavor from my school district.
Yeah, leave her alone.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.